Let's open God's Word together and turn to Psalm 119. Over the past couple months, I've had an independent study with a group of students in which we are going through Psalm 119, reading and enjoying the Hebrew text and doing some exegesis and some memory work as well. And a lot of little gems from this psalm have stuck with me over the last few months. And we're going to spend our time this morning just looking at one of those little gems, just a single verse from Psalm 119, and that is verse 19. And this verse reads this way: I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Now, in a verse like this, we find a simple parallelism. Parallelism is simply one verse that has two thrusts, two statements. And in this particular verse, you have two parts. You have a statement, I am a stranger in the earth, and you have a petition, do not hide your commandments from me. Now, each part of this parallelism has meaning in itself. The statement, I am a stranger in the earth, and the petition, do not hide your commandments from me. But the greater challenge of a short verse like this is to relate the two parts of the parallelism to each other. Why does this petition follow on from this statement? Why do these two things go together? I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So what we're going to do just in the brief time we have this morning is do three things briefly. We're going to look at each part of the parallelism as a unique thing, as a unique statement. And then thirdly and finally, probably most importantly, we're going to look at how these two things relate, right? Why this statement is followed by this petition. So let's begin with the statement of this one verse. I am a stranger on the earth. The term that the psalmist uses here, the Hebrew word ger, which means a stranger or sojourner or foreigner, and it is a very prominent and important concept in the Old Testament. Remember when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he said, go to the land that I will show you. And he called him to live in this land of which he knew nothing. He knew no one. He knew not the people, the customs, the language. And he told Abraham that he would be a stranger in this land. In fact, Abraham called himself a ger, a stranger, in Genesis 23. And we see from Abraham's life how he was, in fact, a sojourner, a stranger. He wandered from place to place, and he never really put down roots. He never settled in one spot and called it home, even in the land that God had promised to him. He was always a sojourner, a stranger. Now, that was a major part of Abraham's experience of faith, being a stranger on the earth. That is, having the experience or having the feeling of never really being at home in this world. Now, of course, later on, Israel as a nation would inherit the land that God promised them, and they would, in a sense, for a time, have a homeland. But the important point is this: the spiritual lesson of Abraham's experience is still, in fact, an abiding principle for all of us to grasp. It is the lesson that we are, as God's people, never really home on the earth, that we are pilgrims, we are spiritual strangers, and we are ones who look for our heavenly home elsewhere as our true resting place, not of this world. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's turn there for a moment, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 13, Abraham's experience of being a stranger on the earth is interpreted exactly this way. Hebrews 11:13, speaking of Abraham and those of faith around him, It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed," they confessed, "that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." And then the next two verses go on to talk about what that homeland is. It is that homeland, that city whose builder and maker is God, and that they anticipated that, looked forward to their true home and their true rest. So this passage says that Abraham and those of faith like him confessed that they were strangers. That was part of their confession, that they were strangers on the earth. And by making that confession, furthermore, the writer of Hebrews says that by saying that, they declare plainly that they seek a better homeland. So when we go back to Psalm 119, verse 19, we have to read it as a confession. That's a confession. I am a stranger on the earth. That is a confession of faith in God's promise of a greater rest, a greater homeland. And it is a plain declaration. According to Hebrews 11, those who say such things, those who confess that they're strangers on the earth, declare plainly that they seek a better homeland. So that's what Psalm 119 is. It's a confession of faith and hope in God's promises, and it is a declaration that we seek a better home, a greater home, a spiritual home of God's providing. Now, it's important for you and I to remember and to confess, like Abraham and like the psalmist, that we are strangers on this earth. Jesus told us in John chapter 15, verse 19, that we are not of this world, right? By faith, we are of God, and we are not of this world. Now, the point here is not that we should never feel comfortable in life or enjoy the blessings that God gives us in this world. That's not the point, of course. But the point is that we should never forget, even as comfortable as we may be in this life, that we have a better inheritance to look forward to, that we have something much greater promised to us in the world that is to come. And in this world, we should never feel so comfortable that we stop joyfully anticipating the true home that we have with Jesus Christ. We should never feel that much at home that our hearts don't yearn for heaven. And we should think about this every single day. We should remember that it's part of our confession of faith that we are strangers on this earth. And by saying that, you and I declare plainly, along with Abraham, our father, that we joyfully await our home with Christ and our citizenship in that city whose builder and maker is God, in that place that he has prepared for us. I have a quote here from Hugo of St. Victor, 11th century, that I think really frames out this point quite nicely. Hugo of St. Victor, he said, "The man who finds his homeland sweet is still a tender beginner. He to whom every soil is as his native one is already strong. But he is perfect to whom the entire world is as a foreign land. The tender soul has fixed his love on one spot in the world. The strong man has extended his love to all places. The perfect man has extinguished his." And that is to say, you know, the timid soul wants to be home and only feel safe in one spot. A stronger man can be at home anywhere in this world. But a spiritual man is a stranger on the earth, right? He has no homeland in this world, and he knows it. Now, of course, there are many joys and comforts of life that we can embrace with thanksgiving. This is not to devalue our lives or our homes in this world. There's no place I love to be more than at my house with my family. But the point is, we should also remember that spiritual strangers in the world are also not going to fit into the world very well. We will stand out like strangers if we live for Jesus Christ, almost like a foreigner in a strange land who doesn't know the language, who doesn't know the customs. And part of this experience of being a spiritual stranger is that we can't simply blend into the world, right? We can't simply assume the language and the culture of the world around us and speak as the world speaks, and act as the world acts. We are supposed to stand out because of God's grace within us and because of our witness to Christ around us. We are to stand out. And you know, being a stranger is not a comfortable experience. Reflecting on this, I was thinking of my visit to China 2 or 3 years ago. And I remember feeling very much like a stranger in a foreign land. I flew into Beijing, and there are Westerners there. You can make your way around. There's always someone that speaks English. But I flew from there a little bit more west to a smaller town in China. Well, there are no small towns in China, but to a different town in China. And I remember walking through that airport and being the only Westerner there. And I remember eyes following me through the airport and thinking, I am really a stranger in this place. And, you know, I never felt further away from home in my life, right? And you can't get further away from home than that. But it made me think of home more and more. I found myself thinking about my home and my family because I was so far away. I was a stranger in a foreign land, right? Now, the point is, that should be something of our spiritual experience in this world as well. And it should not surprise us. What should concern us is if we ever start to feel too comfortable in this world, too comfortable with the common values, the common priorities, the common pleasures of the culture of the world around us, so much so that we feel too at home, and that we forget that our home, our eternal home, is not in this world as we know it. So, I am a stranger in the world. Now, that is something for us to consider, and in a spiritual sense, will be part of our experience as followers of Christ. Now, let's go to the second part of this parallelism here in Psalm 119, verse 19. And it seems like a radical departure from the previous statement. Now the petition is this: do not hide your commandments from me. Now let's just think about that petition in and of itself for just a moment. This petition brings to light several points. One of the points is the psalmist acknowledges that God does, in fact, sometimes hide his commandments from people. The psalmist realizes this. The Lord does, in his wisdom, blind the eyes of those who are hardened in their unbelief. And in effect, he hides his word from them so that they could never find it, even if they looked for it. And even if they found it, they could never understand it. Some people are blinded, and God's word is hidden from them. In Matthew chapter 11, in the middle of his teaching, Jesus paused and he prayed to God. He said, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. He thanked God that God had hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Now, the wise and prudent whom Christ was referencing there are those who are wise and prudent in their own eyes, those who are prideful and think they already know the truth. But then the babes, the children that he referenced there, are those with a humble and a childlike faith who are seeking after the Lord and his truth. To them, God reveals his word. Now, Psalm 119, verse 19, also acknowledges what Jesus made clear, that his word is not only hidden from some, but it is divinely revealed to others, to know it, to see it, to believe it, and to confess it. And when Jesus spoke of God revealing that to babes, to children, and that reminds us of the priority of childlike faith, right? That God reveals his truth to those who seek it humbly and with a childlike faith in him. Now, this is the psalmist's prayer, that God would not hide his word from him, but that he would reveal it to him and give him the faith, the childlike faith, for him to understand it and to believe it. And the point is this: only God can sovereignly, out of his love and mercy, cause us to find his commandments, to cause us to know them and to believe in his word. That is a work of God in our hearts for which the psalmist prays. Now, let's do the third thing we're going to do this morning, and that is to take the statement and relate it to the petition. The statement is, I am a stranger in this earth. The petition is, do not hide your commandments from me. How does the statement relate to the petition? And why does this petition follow this statement? Well, in order to explain that connection, let me ask you, first of all, to picture yourself as a stranger in a foreign land. All right, you're far, far away from home. You don't know anyone around you. You don't even hardly know where you are, right? You can't speak the language. You don't know the customs. You just don't know anything, where you are or anything. What would you most need? What would you most need in a position like that? Well, let me suggest the three most needful things. First of all, you would need instructions on how to live where you are. Secondly, you would need directions on how to get home. And thirdly, you could probably use a little bit of the comforts of home to get you through your journey. And I would say that God's word is all of those things to those of us who are strangers in this world. God's word shows us how to live for his glory in a place where, in a foreign land, where we're not able to simply go out and adopt the language and culture of the world around us and the values. God's word shows us how to live in a foreign land. Furthermore, God's word is a roadmap home. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us how we may be welcomed into a heavenly home where we are no longer strangers, but where we are finally reunited with our spiritual family. And finally, God's word gives us something of the comforts of our true home in heaven with him. Romans 15, verse 4 says, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. For the stranger on the earth, there is much needed comfort and hope in God's word. So finally, in conclusion, I would like to take you to one more verse. And this will be our sort of concluding thought on this connection. And it comes from the book of Job. Turn with me to Job 19. And Job 19 is a high point in the book of Job. There are many low points, but this is one of the great high points. And this is where Job is longing for his Redeemer, and he's anticipating his own resurrection. And that time when he, with his new resurrected body, will see with his own eyes his Redeemer. And the verses are 25 through 27. Let's read these. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. And then the New King James Version, verse 27 reads this way, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Now he's thinking about that time, that moment when he will see the experience of seeing his Savior after he's resurrected. And verse 27 is, and sadly, it's poorly translated, almost always mistranslated in my opinion. And I've only found one English version that, in my opinion, translates it the correct way. And that is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And I don't suspect any of you have the Holman Christian Standard Bible open on your lap right now. So let me read the translation, which I think is the best rendering of this verse. I will see him myself, my eyes will behold him, and not as a stranger. How my heart longs within me. You see, Job felt like a stranger on the earth. He was. His family was gone. Everyone had forsaken him. Even his three so-called friends were not much of a comfort. He was alone in this world. But when he thinks about his resurrection, he thought that it would be at that moment when he saw his Savior with his own eyes that then he would no longer be a stranger. He would see his Savior and not as a stranger. You see, when you and I are raised up in Christ, at that great day of the resurrection, when we see our Savior with our own eyes, at that moment, you and I will no longer be strangers. We will no longer be foreigners. We will no longer be sojourners, but we will be sons and daughters who are welcomed home. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are strangers on this earth, and we confess that before you. But by saying so, we declare plainly that we seek another home, a better home, a heavenly home with you. But Father, as we continue our journey, our sojourn in this world, our prayer to you is that you would hide not your commandments from us, that you would open our eyes to know and to receive your word, that we might know of your promises, that we might find comfort in them. And we look for and long for that day when you will receive us into that heavenly home which Christ has gone to prepare for us. Hasten that day, we pray, in your wisdom. But until that day should come, hide not your commandments from us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.